in a vicious cycle of ignorance, poverty, disease, sickness, and death. And there seems no way out. There seems to be no way of escape. And because there seems no hope or no other way out, no other escape, we turn to wine, we turn to whiskey, heroin, morphine, cocaine, opium, poison, nothing but poison.
I know I can, I'm sure I can. Getting dope out my veins, I believe I can. I know I can, I'm sure I can. Break free from the chains, I can heal, I can change. A fighter, never give up. I done made up my mind, I can do it, and that's what's up. I'ma learn, I'ma find what I need to help myself. I understand that it's up to me to take care of my health. I'ma prove to the world that I can get back up on my feet, and I'ma do it for myself, for me, and for my family. They only want the best for me. They wanna see me in control of my destiny, and I believe I can. I know I can, I'm sure I can. Getting dope out my veins, I believe I can. I know I can, I'm sure I can. Break free from the chains, ain't no easy way out, but I made it this far. Many days I slip back frustrated cause it's hard, but it's my time now to make the changes in my heart. And I ain't looking back right here, today's where I'ma start. I believe in myself, I just made some bad choices. I still love myself and I ain't ready for the coffin. I'm reaching out to my loved ones for their support, and no negative thoughts is gonna stop me. Just watch. And I believe I can. I know I can. I'm sure I can. Getting dope out my veins. I believe I can. I know I can. I'm sure I can. Break free from. I got things I wanna do with my life. I ain't dead yet. I know I've been close to the edge, but I ain't dead yet. It's never too late to make a change for the better, and I really mean it this time. I'm about to get myself together. Yeah, but I know it's not just me. I'm not the only one. Everybody got something that they need to overcome. You ain't gotta smoke crack to be a fiend. A fiend is just somebody that's addicted. It could be anything. Too many of us addicted to the American dream. We high from the lies on the TV screen. We drunk from the poison that they teach in the school. And we junkies from the chemicals we eat in the food. But I believe I can. I know I can. I'm sure I can. Get this dope out my veins. I believe I can. I know I can. I'm sure I can. Break free from the chains. I believe I can. I know I can. I'm sure I can. Get this dope out my veins. I believe I can. I know I can. I'm sure I can. Break free from the chains. I believe.
Peace. This is CRS Radio, the Caribbean radio show, the Knowledge Station. I'm your host, Brother Antonio. If you have any questions or comments, please call 661-467-2407. Again, the number is 661-467-2407. Give thanks. Oh, man. Tonight, we got a powerful show. But first, before we get into the show, I would like to give thanks for my ancestors, to your ancestors, for bringing us to this moment of healing, this moment of truth, this moment of growth. I haven't made any shows in a while. Like, it's been over a month. I've been so busy. I've been going through a lot of challenges. I've been trying to clean up a lot of my my responsibilities that I let go to the side. So I've been real focused on trying to get my life together. So I just thank you for taking the time to be a part of this platform and to receive this powerful, powerful message. So I just want to give us some quick updates. I put together a study group for some brothers. We've been studying Kemetic spirituality. other updates. I've been having a lot of good things coming into my life, meeting a lot of good people, networking, coming up with new ideas, trying to bring more financial abundance in 2017. So I've been coming up with different plans and ideas on how to do just that. I've been doing a lot of readings. I got back into doing my divination readings, so I've been doing a lot of readings for people. I've been still been studying my health. I'm getting more and more into my martial arts, get more and more into working out. I'm just saying it's been a lot since the last time I had a show. I've grown so much. And I just give thanks for my ancestors, and I also give thanks for my support system, everyone that I build with and connect with. These are the people that help me become better. What else? So tonight we're going to have a powerful show. I'm going to have one of my brothers on the show with me, and we're going to build on tonight's topic. Tonight's topic, life after Obama, reclaiming our greatness. This is a real big concept that we're going to dive into. And I also will be having like a question and answering, opening lines, opening the switchboard for other people to come in and share their perspectives. Okay. So I'm going to get my brother Falah on the phone, Brother Falah on the phone. And Brother Falah, hello? I pushed the wrong one, I'm sorry. Here we go. Hello, Brother Falah? Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you now.
Okay, how you doing?
Hey, your phone kind of, you got me on speakerphone, bro?
Nah, I got you on my headset.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Now let me step into another room. It's probably picking up the
ambient noise. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So before we get into the actual topics for tonight, I'm going to read a particular story. And this particular story comes from the book Initiatic Tales of Hedgta, Kemetic Initiation Stories. And this story is called The Heritage. Work is a treasure. So I'm going to read this story. I want you to sit back, relax, digest this powerful information, soak up this wisdom, and afterwards we're going to build on what we just heard. So the story is called The Heritage. Work is a treasure. There is a Gurmanchi proverb that says that richness is like sweat. If you relax, it dries up. Yes, if you relax, your sweat dries up. For millennia, we have understood the value of hard work. People of color in the motherland, or Merita, or Kemet, have understood that if we want to rise above other species of animals, it is necessary for us to take at least a part of our destiny in our own hands. Let me repeat that. It is necessary for us to take at least a part of our destiny in our own hands. We must be able to drink and eat when we want. We must domesticate plants and animals. We must master the path that will lead us to the gods. We must also understand that this elevation of human dignity will come with a price: work. The work will be at the origin of what we call material richness. Human life, based on the gathering and hunting of wild animals, is simply not dignifying for human beings that recognize their non-material dimension and existence of gods. This simple logic was enough for the individual that lives on the earth while keeping in mind the fragile balance of forces that are involved in the becoming of existence. The world of the human will become under the watchful eyes of the gods, creators of existence, those who guarantee the stability and harmony of existence with the society that has a goal of approaching the world of the gods. Every individual will develop moral and spiritual values that are favorable to existence. The story I'm going to tell comes from the far in our past, but it still can be observed in every society. It is the story of the farmer and his children. To say that the world changes is saying nothing special. Yes, the world changes. Values change. The world falls apart. Every generation tries to do its best with what it finds. Every generation finds itself soured by the egoism inherent within the desperate solution enacted by its elders, who probably thought they would not be around years later to face the consequences of the problems conceived solutions. The more time advances, more and more generations are born into problems that have been caused by their elders, fathers. Let me repeat that, because that's deep. The more time advances, more and more generations are born into problems that have been caused by their elders, fathers, mothers, and grandparents. The farmer came into a world that challenged his wisdom. He saw people sold their farms to nobilities and found themselves to work in their farms for the rich people for a salary that can only help them buy some of the food they have farmed for their boss. He's seen them trying to survive, working on the same land that he owned before, but now for somebody else. He has seen farmers speak proudly of their dignity and the fact that now they are just workers. He has seen them give themselves titles like employed, gardener, rancher, house cleaner, well digger, supervisor. He has always found these titles intriguing. For all his life, he asked himself how these people think. They don't resemble those who have given up, those who have sold their land and then found themselves farming the same land for others who are stronger or more intelligent than they. The farmer is living in the world upside down, his only comfort is the fact that his children are farming with him, and they are all living off the farm. Of course, farm work is not easy. He has seen kids complain about the fact that they must always work, and many times he has told them that this was the price for their dignity. If you refuse to suffer for your dignity, you will end up suffering for someone else's dignity. You will be employed. Let me repeat that. If you refuse to suffer for your dignity, you will end up suffering for someone else's dignity. You will be employed. As we say in Africa, it is the slowest camel that sets the pace for the caravan. The logic of the human intelligence is clear, but very few people perceive it. A lot of people have developed a sort of pride in the fact that they are employed. Let me repeat that, man. A lot of people have developed a sort of pride in the fact that they are employed, and this is becoming like a social pressure on the children of the farmer. As time went on, it became more and more normal to be anything other than a farmer that lives from his land. The farmer was feeling his age, his forces were fading with time, normally was supposed to count more and more on his children, but many times he has seen them complain they were poor and that the employees were better than them. One day, feeling that his death was approaching, the farmer gathered his children in his room and talked to them from the depth of his heart. My children, you can see death knocking at my door. I would like for you to listen very, very seriously. Never sell the heritage that our ancestors left to us. Never sell our land for any price. There's a hidden treasure in it, and I don't know the place. If you farm all of our land, you will find it someday. Dig, search, sow it. Do not leave any place unfarmed, And when you find that wealth, you will be richer. And remember, the treasure was the result of the sweat from our ancestors. And remember, the treasure was the result of the sweat from my ancestors. After the death of the farmer, his children gathered in the room, in their room, more motivated than ever. They worked continuously for days. They sowed at every corner of the farm and planted millet, wheat, and corn. They harvested and sowed part of it. They spent the rest of the year waiting impatient for the arrival of the next rainy season. When the rains came, they found themselves sowing harder and harder with the secret hope that they might find the pot of gold somewhere. They produced so much that they sold the surplus and bought gold. The father, in one way, taught his children that work was a treasure. Yes, work is a treasure. We must have the wisdom to recognize what we are doing and place our sweat and aspiration in the dimensions of the human struggle. All work requires us to spend energy, but every time we consider the cosmic dimension of humanity, we see that a lot of our sweat has been poured more towards our illusions than towards the vital principles of the earth. As it is said by people in my village, a useless work is only fit to a dog. And even when a dog understands that it is useless, it leaves it alone. Let me repeat that. A useless work is only fit to a dog. And even when the dog understands that it is useless, it leaves it alone. Ashe, ashe. Man, that was a powerful, powerful story, bro. Like, man. So I just want to build on that. I just want to build on some of those concepts in that particular story. One of the things I wanted to look at was the particular quote. The Gamanchi proverb says that the richness is like sweat. If you relax, it dries up. What does that mean to me? It means like it's no time to play around. It's no time to get stagnant, because stagnant represents death. So that means we have to constantly be putting in some type of work, constantly developing ourselves, constantly. Hey, bro, can you put your phone on me, bro? Right quick. Constantly developing ourselves and raising our quality from moment to moment to moment. And that's what you see within the story, the heritage. The father taught the children hard work by simply teaching them how to get out into the fields and work hard to make their world manifest, the world that they were trying to see manifest. So that's one of the things that I got from the store. And also just being self-sufficient. As people, we have to become self-sufficient. Because we can't keep on depending on something outside of ourselves to help us. We have to start going within ourselves. We have to start studying our history. We have to take control of our diet. We have to become more disciplined. We have to get out of our comfort zone and do the things that we need to do to raise our quality. And we have to learn to adapt. That's something else we have to do. Anytime, any challenges that may come into our life, we have to learn how to adapt. And that's what you've seen in the story. You have to learn how to adapt from moment to moment. You never give up. We never give up our ancestors' values. We should never give up our ancestors' values and switch them with the values of our oppressor. And that's what we're doing right now. So instead of getting knowledge yourself, instead of reading a book, instead of eating organic foods, we buy Jordans, we buy jewelry, we go to the club, we buy a nice car with the nice rims, but at the same time, we overweight, got high blood pressure, etc. So our ancestors were preservers of life. They were preservers of life. They were about holistic living, organic living. So We can't give up that. We have to reclaim that. That's us. That's us as a people. We have to reclaim that and get back on that frequency. It's also important to leave like a legacy behind. And that's why, and that's what it showed in the story. Like, the father pretty much left a legacy behind that was given to him by his ancestors. Because if you look up the word ancestor, ancestor just means someone who left a legacy behind, someone who came before you who left a legacy behind. So we got to work hard, and we can't be ashamed of our culture and our history. I know at one time I was ashamed of the way that I walked and the foundation that I was standing on. I was ashamed. I was ashamed of that. But now, as I'm starting to see that this is just who I am and who I'm becoming, I have to accept that and embrace that part of myself. Hey, bro. Fala.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah,
you got anything you want to add on there? I know you got some stuff you want to add.
You covered a lot of it, but some of the things that I looked into that was the idea of what you're suffering for. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What is your? Is it production? Is it giving you some momentum?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the other guys in the store, the ones that the employees and
yeah.
You know, foremen and supervisors and all of them, you know, you're looking at that lifestyle, and that lifestyle is comfortability. And
mm-hmm.
why is it comfortability? Because one, you're just going there to work a specific amount of hours to get a paycheck. But those people that you're working for is work. And they're getting so much money and so much help from the government from certain forms that they're signing and tax breaks and stuff like that. And we have no idea. With that type, we have an idea of what that lifestyle ends up like, because
mm-hmm.
we look at our grandparents, you know, and our mothers and fathers, and we look at how the hospitals are $1 billion industries for sickness. We already know what this life that life is going to end. You're already stressed out working with someone because you're not exactly involved 100% with the business, advertising for the business, keeping the books together.
So what do you think?
Pay.
So what do you think the dangers or the handicaps of being employed and working for somebody else?
Okay, let's say I'm a barber, so I work for myself. I have my business license. I have all that paperwork, right? Initially, when you're doing that, you don't keep all your records, which is bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can keep all your records. When you go to file taxes, you're showing you make a lot more money than you really made. Everything that you are spending money for that's business orientated is really deducts off what you're making. And so that allows you some freedom to operate, to deal with your money and operate business at your will and not at operating at the will of this person's idea who doesn't even work there but hire you to come work there and make $30,000-$40,000 a month for them.
Mm-hmm.
And give you only, $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference. The difference is the lifestyle you can live, the comfortability you can have, and since you don't have the muscles, the mental muscles to operate a business, it becomes a challenge, and our lifestyles and our personalities cause us to fail. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a little bit more awareness to operate a business. You're fully aware of all operations of the business. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Versus an employee. An employee knows his position. He does this. He tightens his bolt for 20 years. If he tightens his bolt, he'll get a pension. But the owner is the one who put in all the paperwork, put the business plan together, got all the necessary forms and legalities together, and they're in control. They are producers. And that's what that story is about, Get your land and work it. Till every last bit of it. do something with it. You're going to find that treasure. They happen to get the wealth of their harvest. They sell that, get gold. And they just get money, constantly getting money. And that was the treasure, that work. And that's what we're missing, that concept of work, that hard work that means something, that we can pass to our next generation.
Hold on for a second, bro. Let me see something. Hello. Peace, who is this? Hello? 840-819? 540-819? All right. But go ahead, bro. I'm sorry for cutting your bill. Hello?
I'm here. That's what I was just, that's what I was getting from it. It's about, one, takes away your ability to fully be aware of what you're doing, and the other one makes you opponent of what's being done on what really belongs to you. That's your mental resources, your physical resources, your ability to do what the owner can't do.
So
he's owning it in vain. Go ahead.
So the next concept we're going to get into. So what does the election mean to us as a people?
Hmm.
What did the election mean to me? When I seen Trump win when I seen Trump become the next president, to me that represented a new frequency, a new phase. Obama leaving the White House and Trump coming in. This is like a form of a new cycle. And then I had to ask myself, what does Trump represent? What does he represent? What does he represent in the new chapter in our development? Trump represents corruption in America. Trump represents, like, if you want to say, like, the lower self, anything that you can think of, like, the dark side of a human being, that's what Trump represents. And Trump is like a reflection of America. That's what Trump is. He's the skeletons of in the closet for America. It's coming to light. So dealing with that situation, what I had seen is, hey, bro, you got anything you want to add to that, bro? Before I go any further.
One thing I was thinking about when you said that, and I was like, if we look at, that humans don't create or invent, and we know our children are always watching what the adults do, and so you putting this this public figure and personality as the public, quote unquote leader, a lot of children are going to follow this pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So, my thing is, what do you think about America in about the next 10, 20 years?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because he's going to be like that portal for that corruption to come out and be exposed to the masses. And a lot of our people are going to be, you're either going to be affected. You're going to be affected by that in a positive or a negative way. No matter what, you're going to be affected by Trump coming into office, because some people are going to be happy about it. Some people are going to be sad about it, upset about it, fearful about it. And you could probably get in a conversation with any one of those people and they can put that emotion on you. And that's a part of the distraction, keeping us fighting amongst each other. And not worrying about our quality, not in the garden within ourselves, cultivating our own land, our own mind, our own body. Like that's all a part of the distraction. So Trump also represents that distraction. Go ahead, bro.
I didn't have nothing else to say. I was just that was it right there.
Okay. So how do we transform a positive into a negative? Dealing with, because like I said, a lot of people see this as like a negative situation, but we have the power to build our world, build our environment, change our environment. But we first have to change our perspective. We have to change how we see, how we view the world. That's the first thing we have to do. And we have to align our perspective with the perspective of our ancestors, those who came before us, those who were great, those who were not colonialized. Align our perspective to those who really knew, who were in tune with their mind, who were in tune with their body, who was in tune with their spirit. That's who we have to align ourselves with. That's the perspective we have to come from. And you want to build on that, bro? You got anything to add to that? Hello, Fla?
Yeah. What was that, bro?
I said, did you
have anything to add?
Yeah.
Not really.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So when I think about Trump, I think of someone being self-sufficient because he also represents that. Because Trump, he's a businessman. So it's certain things I can learn from him. He can have certain qualities that I can learn from. And that's one of the things, seeing that he's a businessman, that's a part of the consciousness that I want to tap into. So in 2017, that's what I'm tapping more into, because that's a quality that he's bringing. That's an energy that he's bringing. So I'm trying to own my own. Trump is not the boogeyman. He's not the boogeyman. The reason why he seems like he's the boogeyman is because media has put that in your mind. Again, your perspective is crucial. You got anything you want to add to that, bro?
Yeah, I do. I was thinking in my head, like, you know, one thing Trump, we really got to look at what the presidency represents, you know, first of all. And we got to look at, it's just right now, we know that Trump is going to be able to do some things, but on certain levels, it's going to be imagery,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we're going to deal with. And then what is that image going to do to the community? Because it's going to affect the community on a large scale.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing that I'm looking at. So one thing we have to look at is capitalism. It's capitalism with a gangster twist.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do this. No, it's getting done in your face, yeah. What are you going to do about it? It's worse than Bush. It's worse than all of them. And I don't say worse like, and he's going to be a bad president, but like I don't get into the presidential elections, because the end result is, regardless who's in office, our position, and that's we're not on any resources, not even our own mental and physical and talents and intellectual resources that we have. We don't even own them. We get some of those away as well. So that is the presidency. Really is showing that it's more important that if it's about capitalism, then everyone's going to try to capitalize and snatch out.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody saying that same, having that same idea. And one thing that I do like about the approach, our approach, is that we're dealing with the mind, because
mm-hmm.
the one who's intelligent, you know, you can say the fittest, the survival of the fittest, but okay, well, the mind needs to have exercise too. So that's where it comes to, we need to develop our minds. We need to build those brains on a higher level, because
mm-hmm.
the same situations have always been here. So when the earth starts to switch its environment and those who make the change with it, that's the shift. But until
mm-hmm.
then, it's always been a constant a struggle to set free from the colonialism.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing's changed. It's just a different image of how we're going to do it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was seeing, though.
To add to that, though, too,
we also got to be careful going into this, that we don't get caught up and so trying to survive fitting that same, you know, energy, but, you know, intellectualizing it as something else. You know, we really got to look at what we're going after and how we can, you know, when we get that money, who we going to work with when we got the mm-hmm. money to increase, like we say, you know, I know we're going to deal with, right? So we're looking at what one person can do, two to 10 can do even greater things. So that's what be, you know, it's a lot of us awakening, but can we get together?
Mm-hmm.
That's a resource we want to really start looking at, a human resource. You know, what skills mm-hmm. do you bring? Everybody got a talent. That's what we need to be. That's self-development. That's the best resource we can go out there and get wealthy on right now.
Mm-hmm.
That health and self-development. Because what if the situation switch with the money and the money don't matter?
Exactly.
Like I was living in, and the city went crazy because some type of chemical got in the water and nobody could drink any water. You couldn't boil it, take a shower, and nothing. If you boiled it, it was more deadly boiled because of the fumes than it was in the water form.
And with this is in West Virginia, right?
West Virginia, yeah. So you had to buy your water to take a shower, brush your teeth, wash yourself in, cook with everything. So you can imagine this was going on for like 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't even want to flush your toilet. It made your whole house smell like licorice, like a straight chemical plant.
Dang.
And you can't eat. You can't really, you can't even go to work and make money because nobody can have running water.
Mm-hmm.
So then what you going to do? You can't go out there and get money. What's your bill going to be then? How you going to be able to survive and have the fortitude, physical fortitude, to be able to down to once a day, you know, even be able to get to the point where you can skip a whole 24 hours just because you can do that healthy. And then
mm-hmm.
when those situations come, you're prepared. You don't panic like most people will. That right there is a resource that it's a lifestyle. One, it has a whole lot of mental and health, and is definitely a resource that for prevention, physical and mental health issues, kind of like fasting, cutting down your meal intake. That right there in itself is a jewel.
Mm-hmm.
It saves money, saves, you know, because of having to spend all your money, you start to be able to realize how much money you really can live off of.
That's true,
but,
man.
You know,
that's true. That's it's about that self-development.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the hard work. That's the hard work. I can connect, and that's what I'm connecting to the store. Like that's that hard work that not too many people want to do that hard work. So they rather distract themselves and do something else. So they distract themselves and try to accomplish or achieve the American dream, which is nothing but an illusion. So they also get paid for putting out misinformation. This is what they do. Like I was on Facebook one time and they were talking about, I was reading an article and it was talking about how there are certain websites that send out misinformation to get people to click on the article so that the person that sent out the information can get paid for it. So they actually get paid for putting out misinformation. And that's like I said, like we have to be really, really vigilant when we're dealing with information and making sure that we're double checking and trying to find a reference point from that with the information. Because it's just too much manipulation that's going on. So another thing, how do we let go of fearful thinking? Because again, this is connected to Trump coming to office, because when he got elected, a lot of people had a lot of fear. They were vibrating in a lot of fear. They were projecting a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of doubt. I was at work, what was it, today or yesterday? And a woman was telling me about Trump, and she was telling me how she was, and this is a white lady too, and she was telling me how upset she was that Trump was in office, and she's been so angry since. I mean, this is just from a person being put in the office, and this is affecting this human being. And this is the thing: any type of negative emotion creates an acidic environment within the body. A lot of people talk about the alkaline diet, and they just think about just dealing with eating certain foods. Nah, it also deals with how you handle certain situations. So if you're constantly being upset, constantly getting angry, constantly worrying, constantly in fear, like you're creating an acidic environment in your body. So all the alkaline foods that you're eating is pointless. You know what I'm saying? So it's important that we work on that part of ourselves. Is there anything you want to add to that, bro?
I was thinking what you were saying earlier about we got to be careful of what we think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because when we're creating emotions, those emotions creating a chemical component within our bodies that create acidity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm seeing how in various situations in our environment is very emotional. It talks
mm-hmm.
to you very emotively, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the way that's just church.
Mm-hmm.
They come at you. They come at you with the emotions of fear, sadness, grief, all those, you know, those hard, like, sorrow, all of those, you know, relief from suffering, you know, all of those, you know, different cultures, modern religion.
Mm-hmm.
They use that emotive speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your attorney, he speaks to you emotively, you know. Your doctor,
mm-hmm.
he speaks to you emotively. As soon as
mm-hmm.
you go in there and you tell him you got something wrong with your foot, oh, they want to take x-rays, everything, tell you, it's, you know, something strained and hurting, you know, you really tripping. And it's just you sprang on a little tendon, that's it. Charge you $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
You know, got you gassed up because you was worrying about the fear of your foot being hurt permanently, see, and they get you caught up into whatever it is that you go in there. And that's how they get us caught up without giving us the cure. But, you know, with that emotive speech is what I'm expressing. So when we talk about, you know, watch what we're thinking, well, our environment sometimes portrays what we're going to think and say and do. And if we're watching TV, and our favorite show is some, you know, Empire, you know, you're putting all that twisted emotional strain on your body.
Mm-hmm.
It's triggering that the life you live in is okay. Look, it's even on TV. That
mm-hmm.
box right there is the Wizard's Magic, the Wizard's Magic box. You know what I'm saying? You get caught up in it and watch it for 10, 15 years, thinking that's reality.
You can program your cells to either be productive or destructive. And anytime
mm-hmm.
we watch those images or anytime we listen to those sounds coming from trap music, we are reprogramming our cells for self-destruction. And that's
mm-hmm.
how the body slowly starts to transgress, illness starts to slowly manifest within the body. It may come, the sickness ends up starting in the mind and eventually works its way somewhere into the body. So we have to be aware of that. And the way that we transcend fearful thinking, we have to tap into whole brain thinking. What is whole brain thinking? Whole brain thinking is dealing with you learning to use your brain, your whole brain, majority of your brain, learning how to connect the left and the right hemisphere of your brain so you can start using more of your brain, growing more brain tissue. How do you grow more brain tissue? You grow more brain tissue by learning how to meditate. You have to learn how to meditate, learn how to do different forms of meditation, read books on meditation. Go on YouTube. Go to a meditation class. Practice it. Practice. Practice every day, because you're changing your brain chemistry when you meditate. Like there are studies that show that monks who meditate have parts of their brain that's more developed than the average person. So the part of the brain that deals with like compassion or forgiveness in a monk is more developed than the average person. So we gotta get into meditation. Also, get into affirmations. Affirmations are words, or haka'us, which are words of power that we use to uplift ourselves. We use to invoke invoke healing within ourselves. So affirmations are important. Affirmations are something that we should be doing constantly throughout the day. We should be writing them. We should be saying them to ourselves, because the more you write and you say the affirmations, the more you change your brain chemistry. We have to start reprogramming our brain. We have to start reprogramming the way that we think. And meditation, affirmations. The next one, breath training, breathing exercises. Another form of another way to activate whole brain thinking. Because when you're doing the breathing exercises and you're breathing deep, you're getting more oxygen to the brain. And when the more oxygen that you get to the brain, the more efficient the brain will start to work. And you will start to tap in dormant parts of the brain. You will start to get more circulation into the brain. Katibi. Katibi is another form of whole brain thinking. And it's a form of what we call in chem life, or traditional Kemetic spirituality, Katibi. It's a form of meditation. It's the origins of where yoga, Qigong, all these different systems come from. So Katibi expresses all those different practices. Build your confidence. You have to build your confidence. Again, this is all a part of reprogramming yourself, using more of your brain. Bro, you got anything you want to add to that?
One thing to say is going back to looking at, let me shut my door because my son about to run in here on me. I would say it's like dealing with going back to being stagnant versus having some type of productivity, right? Mm-hmm. And we're looking at our blood, and if our blood is carrying certain, you know, ailments like toxic sugars and all the things that we need to really in some way sweating out, using breathing and stretching exercises to generate blood movement that will grab those different particles and bring them out, we start to get sickness. So from my own personal experience, I've been doing, yoga, Katibi, Qigong, all that. I've been doing that for years. And to still do what I want to do, you know, go do anything that I can physically do as a person at 20 years old, I can still do at 45. So it is definitely something that's worth getting into and making it a lifestyle, but it also comes with a diet too, and the right nutrition to replace replace and add in the right nutrients and minerals that your body need in order to function properly, because it doesn't just need food.
Mm-hmm. So the next thing, don't let our past stop us from moving forward. Don't get caught up in worrying about the future. Don't let these thoughts stop you from growing. So what that means is, like, a lot of times we let our past experience, past traumas, stop us from moving forward in life. It's certain things that we've been through that has impacted us so bad that we still are affected by that today. And this is, again, this is a part of the fearful thinking. This goes back to fearful thinking. And this is, again, this also is connected to what we talked about at the beginning, dealing with Trump. Like, they are feeding the fear. They are feeding that fear in you. And that fear that they're feeding you is also feeding off the fear that's already in you. The fear that's been inside you from that whatever you experienced in your past that's still hurting you. It may be the fear of you getting in a relationship and losing that person. It may be the fear of your mother or your brother or your cousin or your best friend dying. It may be the fear of you losing a particular job. Like, all this is connected. All this is connected. So, so we don't want to get caught up in. We don't want to get caught up in the fear, and we also don't want to get. We don't want to get caught up in division, because that's a lot of division that's going on right now. Again, with the Trump situation, Hillary versus Trump, Hillary supporters versus the Trump supporters. And now you got the Republicans and the Democrats banging like the Bloods and the Crips. Now you got people who really don't even know anything about politics, who don't know anything about politics, arguing with some other people, arguing with another person who don't know any damn thing about politics. So you got two people who are ignorant about something that is not going to benefit them at all. So that's that mentality that we want to get out. We want to get away from the racism, the police brutality. Like, we have to address that. But at the same time, we can't we can't get too emotional to where we can't even think clearly on how to find solutions to those problems, because we're so emotional that we're not even trying to figure out solutions. Is there anything you want to add to that, bro? And I'm just gonna say one more thing. And the reason why this division is so dangerous, because it creates a split. It creates a split within ourselves. It creates a split within ourselves. That's what ends up happening when we get caught up in me versus them, or me versus him, or me versus her. Like, that's a reflect that everything that's outside of yourself is a reflection of what's going on inside of you. So if you're beefing and you're disrespecting and you're fighting and you're getting emotional with somebody else, that's having an effect on you. Again, you're creating an acidic environment within your body. So go ahead, bro. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just going back to, we got to look at what is creating these individuals in the community. And it's definitely the environment, the stronghold on the environment. So we're really looking at one or two of us becoming somewhat aware and want to live a life. But then our lives, we just island of purity in a sea of corruption. So we need to come together and broaden off, our land base, basically, with individuals, And that's what it really comes down to. We can't just do this by ourselves no more. If you're trying to do it by yourself, we already know from the basics that that's a set quality in itself. You know, you're really not trying to look out for the preservation of life of these people right here that is fitting this quality, working together. That's what our whole mentality has to start pushing towards right now. Who wants to work together? That's what we need to start building with, and funding all our resources with these individuals as they want to do with us. And because our environment is challenge each other. Everything is a challenge. I challenge you. You challenge me. Who can make it to the top the fastest? Who can take the most? That right there is our environment. So our kids come up. They got to get money. And by telling them that the biggest resource they got is themselves, their intellectual capacity and all of that. And so, you know, we have to create environments. Once we start to come aware, we come together and create environments that it makes it okay for these little kids to come up in and see something different automatically. But we fall in the same trap. We talk a good game, but we don't really have environments where kids, they still got the Xbox, the PlayStations, the Jordans, and everything. We be all conscious out wearing, you know, wearing our gear. But our kids, we lost, you know, still in that same sauce, and we wonder why they come up want to bully. Because whoever's running stuff, whoever is the boss, whoever runs things in America is a bully. Because everybody copies the leader. They follow the leader. And if the leader has to be a bully, have to be more bullies and stuff out here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the environment. So we keep on buying into the environment to really, in my opinion, to really, you know, I like the approach of putting a sense on the political environment, but then really taking it back to self. And that's what it really comes down to, because what about in the next 4 years when it's somebody else? Who is it going to be then?
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to have to do then? It's adapt like we do every presidency that's came since they've been holding us, you know, in this trick bag.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. So solutions, some of the solutions is this. Like, we have to tap into our ID signature. What is our ID signature? Your ID signature deals with your gifts, your skills, knowing your purpose. Everyone has something to teach if they take the time to master it. Everybody has a gift, but you have to start cleaning yourself in order to see that gift. You have to start aligning your perspectives with the perspective of your ancestors. You have to start taking care of your land, which represents your body, your mind, and working hard to cultivate that land, cultivate that body, cultivate that mind, cultivate that spirit, in order to see the things that you want to see manifest in your life. So you have to find your gift, find your purpose, find your purpose. Not everybody was put here to be a basketball player. Now everybody was put here to be a model. Now everybody was put here to be an entertainer. Now everybody was put here to be a dope boy. Now everybody was put here to be a stripper. Like, those identities are not a part of who we are as a people. Those identities came after we lost ourselves. And those identities were created to keep us enslaved and keep the powers that be fed. So know yourself. That's what our ancestors said. They say, know yourself, know your body, know your mind, know your spirit, know your connection with your family. Understand your connection with your family. If you don't have a connection with your family, or if you can't, if you don't have a connection with your family, get with like minds who you can consider your family and build with them. Because you can't, 2017 and beyond, we can't do it by ourselves. You got to find somebody or a group of people that you can get with, and that's going to help you develop yourself. So we can't do it by ourselves. And we have to stay away from the negative people. Stay away from the negative people. Until you reach a level of awareness and you have a strong foundation and you're becoming, you can go around these people, because these people won't be able to touch what you have been cultivating. So you can go around them and influence them in certain ways, or you can inspire them in certain ways, or you can trigger certain thoughts in them in certain ways. So you want to have that balance. You don't want to separate yourself from the realities of this world, because the reality is this, that you're going to come across negative people. So you're going to have to know how to be level-headed and grounded in that moment when you're interacting with them. Get out your comfort zone. Go ahead.
Can I add something to that?
Go ahead.
When you're dealing with people, right? And I see this a lot where people are like, I don't mess with people. I stay away from people because they don't know how to act, right? Or they find a reason to not associate themselves with people and find people crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they giving themselves excuses to not develop, because I'm looking at if a person has an issue in some way or shape, form, or fashion, you can see that, and you dealing with them may be something that can help them and their, you know, becoming. But because you feeling a certain type of way, not, and you don't want to engage in conversation with them, and a lot of people use that like a person that's coming from a Christian faith, they don't really want to work with somebody from Muslim or some Hindu or Buddhist because they don't share the same beliefs, you know. And we're not coming from that standpoint. We come from a standpoint of everybody's useful. We have to find some use for us being in a community, living on the same land in the same environment, living by a certain sense of reality that we all can share and develop and grow from there. And this is what the talk is about, finding a way to, regardless of someone's, religious or spiritual beliefs or intellectual, you know, theories or whatever, still finding a way to work with them and find you.
Because everybody has something to bring to the table. You just have to know how to fit that piece of the puzzle to the bigger picture. So, we also have to control our perspective and don't let others mislead us. And this goes to like the politicians. We all have that in us. We all have that politician mindset. We all try to use our words to invoke certain emotions, just like a politician would do, trying to sway and manipulate or govern other people, just like a politician would do. We have to, because again, our motto for this country are the so-called entertainers, religious figures, and the politicians. These are our models. And if these are our models, then these are the people that we're following. And if we're following them, more than likely, we're picking up on a lot of their characteristics. Because, again, just like we said, your environment is what's going to dictate who you are and who you will become, your environment. So if you're constantly being around politicians, you're going to become a politician. You're going to get into politics. You're going to have that political mind, and you're going to use that political mind to manipulate the people to get what you want. You got anything you want to add to that, bro?
Yeah, I do. I was thinking, like, going back to where I was saying, you know, you got the environment is like based off basically on like emotions and stuff like this. Like, I was thinking there's two types of speeches that, you know, the mind needs to look. And one of them is emotive speech, and the other one is informative speech. And the difference is one is causing you to feel, like react, like, you know, it's touching you in a way that makes you react to what's being said. And the other one is providing you information to think, you know, to reason your way through. And so, and that to say, when we listening to what, like when someone's like want to know what a politician is, another way to look at it is, you know, they come at you with a way like that. Sometimes they may say something that's derogatory, or they may stroke your ego or something like that, then slip you with what they really want or what their real objective is. So that's how you know a politician. They hit you with the emotive to get you to, see, they got you now. You open, you stroke. Then they hit you with the informative they really want you to have, you know, instead of a person that's really coming to you clean and direct, they're going to just give you the information and give you time to think so you can give them the information they need. Now y'all building, and it's creating momentum of growth. The other one is trying to get you to move at their pace.
Mm-hmm.
So they even in relationships, even in friendships, like, you know, your best friend or a girlfriend relationships, or, you know, male-female relationships. When you get to the point where someone wants to control the pace instead of the individuals involved control the pace, that's when you know you're dealing with a politician. Someone mm-hmm. is controlling your destiny because they keep you off balance with all the emotional distractions, you know, all the other distractions and emotionalities, and you off balance while they complete their agenda.
So
let's
give the people even a clearer example. Let's think of a movie or some type of another example that we can give to the people that will express that concept. You got any movies or anything that comes to mind?
Let me see. I'm thinking a movie that comes to mind is that Tyler Perry movie about the marriage,
uh-huh.
about getting married. You know what I'm saying? And how, like, when you look at this movie, it's really like terrorizing boys who really ain't had no, you know, and how they should conduct themselves in order to get what is considered to be a good woman, which is educated somewhere, got a job probably better than you, got the bangingest weave ever, you know, love to go out to the gym, you know, saying go to the restaurants, eat the best food, all of this. You got to keep up with that lifestyle. And, you know, some guys fall for that okie doke. They talk to them emotively. Then it told them what they need them to do after they instilled the fear of being alone or not things and all that. You know, that right there is a political statement, sort of speak, because it's like to a feminist type woman. You know what I'm saying? If you would, I just want to say that. You know what I'm saying? A feminist type woman who needs that total surrender of this human being instead of allowing him to be who he is, to be with his gifts, and she be who she is with her gifts, and they make it happen. It wouldn't look like these movies that we see. So that's a political statement. That's something like a politician. That woman, right, is politician. She's a siren. She's trying to get you to run for her campaign. You know,
mm-hmm.
cut your dreams off and come run with her and what her dreams are. And some dudes do that, and they end up going to college, get different jobs that they don't want. Then when they get older, they realize they didn't really want this life. They just thought it was good, and they really realize it's just some stagnant, boring crap. That's why you don't see a lot of men in the church. You know what I'm saying? that's another story. But that's what I want to add to that, bro.
Okay. So the last concept, because this is going to be the last concept we're going to build on, and then I'm going to open up the phone lines for anybody who's listening and who would like to build on some of the things we've been talking about tonight. So the last concept is, what is the ant brain theory? The ant brain theory deals with tips on building the community. If we really want to understand how to build a community, how to unify, how to work with other people, go to nature. Go study the ants. What does the ant teach us? The ant teaches us how to not have an ego. A lot of times why we can't unify with the next person is because we have ego, too much ego. Not saying ego is bad, because we need ego to survive. It's a part of the human experience. We have to understand the nature of ego and not let our ego control us. But nowadays in 2016, according to the Gregorian calendar, ego is controlling. Ego is that false identity. Ego is the reason why we can't unify. Ego is the reason why we're lazy. Ego is the reason why we can't do anything together. So the ants teach us unity. So you have to surround yourself with people who think like you. You have to. And build with them. And then once you about build a good foundation with them, you start to build allies outside of that group. that will help support your vision or your mission. And we have to not let our ego destroy what we're trying to make manifest. So everyone has a role. Everyone has a role. You don't have to bring your ego. Bring your role. Bring your identity. Bring your gifts. Bring that brain that's functioning on a holistic level. Bring that. Don't bring the ego. Leave that stuff out, because we can see that doesn't work anymore. Like, we're in a different time. We're in a different shift in our becoming. And now it's time to drop off the baggage. And that ego is the baggage. Is there anything you want to add to that, bro, before I open up the phone lines?
No, sir. Go ahead and open the call lines.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to open up the call lines. Let's see. I have, I don't even know who this is. Hold on. I have one call, 11111. 111, you're on call. Who is this?
Yes, sir. How you doing tonight? Happy New Year to you in advance.
Hello. How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. This is Atif. You know, so are you Trump supporter or Obama supporter?
I'm a supporter of my ancestors, so I don't support neither one of the candidates, because both of them are part of the same destruction.
Okay, so what are your ancestors are, please, for your listeners? Are you, I mean, we say you are from Caribbean. Are you from Jamaica or?
Oh, no, I'm from America. I'm from America.
Oh, okay. But your show said Caribbean radio show, so.
But
are your ancestors from Jamaica or around that area?
Yeah, my ancestors are from all over the world. My blood is from all around the world. Like, my ancestors were on every single part of this planet. Like, it's no division. The reason why it's called CRS Radio, because the person that I'm that is running this particular platform, she's Jamaican. This is her platform. She wanted me to be a part of it.
Right. So she's from Jamaica. She's from Kingston, right? And
I know
a lot about you guys, your Jamaica and your country is very nice. You have as you say, ancestors. You have your ancestor goes back to, as you said, all over the world.
So where are you from?
I am like you. I am a global citizen like you. And my ancestor goes to all over the world. So therefore, you know, I am like you, brother.
Yeah. So where are you from now? Where are you calling from? I'm sorry. Where are you calling from right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
I'm calling from Toronto, Canada.
Ah, okay. Toronto, Canada. Okay. Did you have any... Did you have anything you want to share or insight that you want to? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you said that Obama and Trump are the same thing, mm-hmm. and they play the same games. And mm-hmm. you know, absolutely, you're right. And you know, right now, Black Talk Radio will be under federal rules from 12:01 UTC time. So from that time, so if you want to say anything, you can say now. Because after 12:01 on 2017,
mm-hmm.
basically all the radio stations globally going under NANDA, which is federalized. So you have to censor yourself, basically, from 12:01 UTC time in 2017, which is your time, probably is 7 hours ahead of London. So basically, whatever you want, anybody wants to say, say it right now, because 2017 is equal to 1984. I don't know if you saw the movie or not.
I heard about it. I need to check it out.
Yeah. You need to check it out. It's exactly the same thing. From your cell phone they can hear you, from your computer they can hear you. You know, whenever you have to turn off your computer at night. You know, if you don't use it, turn it off, because they can hear you through your computers. They can hear you through your cell phones, through your TVs, and etc. So therefore, you know, it's technology there, unless you're. Are you using Microsoft now?
So did you have any other questions or anything you want to talk about? Because I have other people that want to come on to the switchboard. Do you have anything else you want to say?
You can put me together. We can see what we can go. But, I mean, just basically, you know, what's happening in mall shopping yesterday. I thought shopping in the mall, then it turned ugly in many, many malls in your country. Can you please give us update? What's going on? Is this a prerequisite to a civil war coming to North America?
Your question is that's a good question. I'm not sure. I haven't even heard anything about that. It's so much.
Yeah, mall brawl. Brawling across America. Foreshadowing chaos in America. I mean, there was at least 20 malls involved in the from Ohio to New York to, you know, East Coast and middle of USA. And I mean, it's people, you know, even sitting and eating, people have a war with each other. I mean, what the hell is going on in your country? I mean, is it going to hit Canada? Probably.
This is whatever happens in your country, it will happen here in Canada.
This is the thing.
Evil doesn't discriminate. The same evil that you're seeing in America is the same evil that's in Canada. The same evil that you see in America is the same evil that's in Asia. The same evil that's in Africa. It doesn't. It's just more powerful here in America. That's it.
It's like I don't know. Is it because we know that they have a technology, they can pinpoint satellite to you, and then suddenly you go crazy, and then you can go do anything you want. They put in your mind control system.
So that's the thing. But
is America losing it? When shopping mall becomes shopping brawls? Go ahead.
So this is the thing. Us that are awakening, we are working on the solutions to all those things. So if you're talking about them projecting satellites on us and making us going crazy, that's why we meditate. That's why we sun gaze. That's why we clean up our diet. That's why we build wellness circles. That's why we learn how to connect the left and the right hemisphere of the brain. That's why we do our spiritual work. This is why we study every aspect of the human experience, so we can be best equipped for whatever happens. Every day we're trying to better ourselves and raise our quality, because at the end of the day, we all gonna make our transition someday. So, but you, in this moment, you still have to live like it's your last. So in my mind, I don't worry about the fear monger. Like, I understand everything you're saying, but at this point in my life, we don't worry about that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because what's going to happen is going to happen. So we keep our mind clear, we keep our heart pure, and we keep moving forward. Hey, bro, but I'm going to have to let you go. Hey, sir, I'm going to have to let you go. I'm going to have to get on to the next caller. Thank you for calling in.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
Thanks.
No problem.
Thanks.
Next caller, 540-819, 540-819. 540-819, you on the call? Okay. 540-761, 540-761. 540-761?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. But yeah, bro, so What's your thoughts on what the brother was saying, though?
I don't know exactly where he was calling from, but like if he was calling from Toronto,
mm-hmm.
Canada, and that's, you know, and he's expressing, you know, maybe some trolling that he was doing about situations in other parts of the world through like world news and stuff. So he's seeing mm-hmm. something that's creating a reality for him, and
mm-hmm.
he's speaking on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the best way to, you know,
like,
to deal
like
with
a,
that is,
like,
you know,
like it's a, he's speaking on it like it's a real reality. But this reality,
I mean, it could be an actual reality that he's experiencing. That would be his
uh-huh.
his reality. We all got to
uh-huh.
give everybody they say. So, and that's what he was doing, was expressing his reality.
Uh-huh.
And you know, we got to look at the type of questions he was asking, or what, you know, that they were honest questions, and he was searching for something that could connect it. If they were, you know, questions that were misleading, then, you know, of course they would be dishonest. But we got to just look at it for what it was. It was him expressing himself, and you handled the situation
uh-huh.
based on where we're coming from. We're coming from, regardless of what happens. I mean, whether you're going to, from high school to college, that's just as traumatic to high school, a senior in high school, as it is to a person that's getting a new job, or a older person that's into business that's getting a new CEO of the major corporation that they. It all depends on, you know, what the changes are going to be in your life. It's going to have you expressing different realities, and that's
mm-hmm.
that's what he's doing. He's expressing a different reality based on his you know, environments he came in contact with.
I'm gonna put the brother
and
back
so
on
for all of us.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, for all of us, it's more important that we understand that everybody's reality somehow may connect. You know, we gotta see through
mm-hmm.
what and where the connections are.
Mm-hmm.
Without, you know, giving too much to our own, you know, being distracted too much by our own, you know, intellectual questioning. Yeah.
I'm going to put the brother back online on the call switchboard.
Oh. Okay.
Yes, brother. Yes. Saying that we are all interconnected together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have, say if something bad happens to you, it's like something bad happened for us, or
mm-hmm.
vice versa. So we are all interconnected together. We have to treat each other like brothers and sisters, not
mm-hmm.
like animals. Because we already learned how to be an animal before.
Uh-huh,
I mean,
uh-huh.
1,000 years ago, 2,000 mm-hmm. years ago, 3,000 years ago, we used to
mm-hmm.
kill each other left and right. But now we learn to be human. And now
mm-hmm.
we have consciousness. We have, you know, we have to tolerate each other. We have, I mean, a race relationship in your country is very bad indeed.
Mm-hmm.
In New York, 500% hate crime rise. And in many a part of your country, and also in our country, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a result of just because of your Trump is elected. Anywhere in the part of the world, also in Germany and Australia, Austria. I mean, everything is changing throughout the globe. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell is going on, but we have to treat each other with dignity and love and fellowship, and no more racism. Because if you have
mm-hmm.
racism against you, it's like they have racism against me. If they
mm-hmm.
have racism against me, is like they have racism against you. So
mm-hmm.
one for all for one. We have to get along with each other. And until we don't do that, the same story repeats again and again itself.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, sir.
So, brother, where are you from, brother? Like, where are you born?
Where I born? I born in Canada.
In Canada. Oh, okay.
I have a Canadian.
Yes. Only reason I was asking, you have an accent like you were born from Medital, what we call what is known as Africa.
All right. I mean, Habashi, right? Habashi. I mean, as I said, I'm a global citizen, so
uh-huh,
my ancestry
uh-huh.
may go to Habashi. That's fine. Yes. I mean, I have no problem. I mean, we are all came from the same
mm-hmm.
planet Earth. you know.
Is Habesha Persian?
No, Habesha is Ethiopia, my friend. Ethiopia, Habesha.
Ethiopia.
Ethiopia. Habesha. Yeah, but the question is again, you know, we have to put it in your head of your listeners. We are all one. We are all human.
Mm-hmm.
Your blood, my blood is the same, is red.
Mm-hmm.
Is your blood is not green, my blood is not white or blue. My blood is same as your blood.
Mm-hmm.
My DNA is same as your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
We are all interconnected through the same humanity. When Anunnakis came to this planet, when over 10,000 years ago, they brought us here, so we all came from the same source. I mean, do you believe in that, Anunnakis?
Yeah, I agree.
And as a result, we're all the same. These white, black, yellow, Hispanic, or whatever you want to call it. We create our own realities. We create our own illusion. I can tell you you're a black. You're black, you're calling from, say, middle of USA right now. It doesn't matter. Is again, why I have to say you are black? No, you are not a black. Black is your computer is black. Has a black part. Your keyboard is black. Are you like that? No. Are a person who call themselves white, are they like when you, right now you have a black and white. You are able to see, read. If everything was black, you could not read. If everything was white, you would not able to read. So, it's like eye, human eye. The black part of your eye and the other color part of your eyes both communicate with the white part of your eye, and you are able to see. Otherwise, you were not able to see. So we are all one God, one planet, one people, please. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, no, I was just listening. I agree. Because the idea of race was something that was created, an idea, a notion that was created to cause division amongst the human family. So I don't get caught up in like the titles, the labels. Because traditionally, coming from a comedic perspective, we see black. If we identify ourselves as black, but the identification is coming from our culture, our values. That is what defines black when it comes to how our ancestors seen black. It wasn't based on our skin color. It was based on how we lived our life. The morals, the values, how we connected with the earth, how we connected with our ancestors. That's what made us black. You got anything you want to add to that, bro?
Right. And the question is, again, you know, the black, I mean, yes, we can say I'm black, I'm white, I am yellow. Again, we should not identify ourselves in any way by that, my friend. We should always identify, what is your background? I am a human. That's all. We are all human. We are not black. We are not white. We are not Hispanic. We are not...
But it's true, because
as soon as you put label on yourself, it's like you create your own illusion. Delusions.
I understand what you're saying.
And then you create racism for yourself.
I understand what you're saying.
A human, it's none of the business of anybody. What's your hair is, you can have a blonde hair and you can have a black, darker skin. Or you can have black hair and you can have white skin. So what's uh-huh. the,
You got to keep in mind, sir. I'm speaking in context. I don't know if we came off like we were being racist or we were talking about whites against blacks. This is not what this platform is about. Like, we don't do that. When I'm speaking about black, you brought up black and white and colors and that type stuff. I'm talking about, if we're talking about black from a comedic perspective, we're talking about how our ancestors seen this, the concept of what black was. It was not based on racism. It was not based on your skin color. It was based on your mentality and how you lived your life and how you practiced your culture. That's what I'm speaking to. I'm not getting caught up in black versus white. That's a distraction. I don't play that game. I'm
right.
done with that game.
Right.
You know what I'm
right.
saying? So
Because your ancestor came from Africa. And then they moved to other part of the world, which is less sun. And then little by little, the darker skin fade away. And then you see as what's different, Swiss. You see a Swiss people, Switzerland, Germany, and other nations. You see, that's how it began. We all go back to the same. Same kind, there was a cycle of mineral, the rock. There was a cycle of plant, and now we are the cycle of the animal coming to the end, that and beginning the cycle of human being. Mm-hmm. When we get into the cycle of human being, the highest and greatest powers that we have will be released to us. They will be released from the light or soul that we carry to the mind. But right now, we are coming to the end of animal cycle. And we have investigated ourselves and learned what is to be like an animal on this planet Earth. Go ahead, sir.
That's powerful. I agree. I agree that I say to connect what you're saying, our people, the more we awaken within ourselves, the more the ancestors will awaken in us. And the more we tap into that ancestral DNA, the more we will tap into our gifts and our powers. And we will understand our purpose. And we will see that we are more than the labels and the different identities that we've been trained to believe that we're in, that we are. But we have to start to clean out that mind, start to clean out that body, so we can start to see that concept clear. Hey, Falon, is there anything you want to add to that, bro?
Yes, my brothers and sisters globally, because we are always one.
Excuse me, brother. I was going to let my other brother, Fala, build on that concept. And I'll get back to you, okay?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead, Fala.
Yeah, I was going back to, like, dealing with the ideal of race, you know.
Go in on that.
And one thing about that is there's only one race really on the planet, and that's the human race.
Indeed.
The thing that separates us is our concepts and ideas and our egos.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at dealing with that on that level. And then so those who don't know, and I'm just thinking I'm knowing, I'm not quite sure, but that understanding those realms, people who really understand them can manipulate things a little bit better. There's other higher forms of science and mental development that the humanity can still reach. Now, to get caught up on a color, you're already losing when you're choosing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because we are not to eliminate from our reality its expression. And we do that, we're destroying it, and it ends up, you know, into destruction. So by not recognizing another race and their connection to what is, I mean, if you're having a race issue, there's deep emotional wound that's been carried down through generations, through that bloodline and that culture. Maybe it's that DNA and that group of DNA that maybe have been wronged or slaughtered, beaten, or hurt by a certain group of people, and they holding on to that pain and illness.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So,
you got, hey, bro,
that's
okay. Go ahead, bro.
Yes, are you with me?
Yeah, hey, sir, what's your name? So we'll be clear.
I told you already, my friend.
Oh, well, I didn't catch it, I'm sorry.
Well,
so I can just.
I'm a human. I'm a human.
Okay,
I'm just
human. Okay.
Just put my name as a human. Let's
okay.
For the sake of
okay.
your listener. Because
okay.
the name is just again delusion.
Yeah, yeah, I understand.
You know.
But so
and you know, to the south,
know. To the south,
the guardianship.
Guardianship.
The spirit, the great
spirit
gave
the
yellow
race
of
the
people
guardianship of the being.
They were
to learn
about
to
the
breathing
and how to take
that
to be within
ourselves
for spiritual advancement.
They were to share that
with it
at this
time.
To the west,
he gave the black race
of the
people
the
guardianship
of the water.
They were to learn
were
the teachings
learn
of
the
water,
teachings of
which is the chief,
which
of,
is
the
chief of the elements,
being the
being
most humble,
the most
and,
humble
most powerful.
And most powerful.
When I went to,
when
the, university,
I went to the university,
and I learned that,
and
it,
I learned
a
that
black
it
man,
was a black
who
man
discovered the
who
black
discovered
plasma.
The black plasma.
It did not surprise
it did
me.
Not surprise me
because.
Because
blood is water,
and
the elders
already
told me that told black
me
people
that black
would
bring
people the, teachings,
bring
of
the
water.
Teachings of water.
And to the north,
he
gave the white race,
people
guardianship,
of the fire.
If you look at the center
of
many of
the
teaching,
they do
you will find the fire. They say the
light bulb
is the white man's fire. If you look at the center of your
center of your
you will find the
sparks.
If you look at the center
of the
aeroplane and
train
and
especially
and etc. You will find
the fire
consumes
and
also
moves.
This is why it was the white brothers
and sisters
who began to move
up
on the face
of
the
earth
and to
unite
as a human
family.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And it was a long past.
The greatest spirit gave
each
of four races
a stone tap.
Ours
are the
care
at
the irrigation
Arizona,
four corners
Third Mesa. And I talked to
and
the people from
the people
place.
From the
their
stone
tablets are the
tablets
food,
the Mount
Canyon.
They are kept by
Tribe.
What tribe?
Sacrifice the Kiko tribe.
Kiko tribe
from the red
of
Tanzania.
Everything's echoing crazy.
Can you hear now? Because I actually had to stop him because he kept talking.
I can hear you. Fine.
I had to cut him off.
Echoing.
Hey, bro. What time did we start? We started at 8 something, right? I think we started around like 8:30. I'm gonna go ahead. You got anything else you want to build on, bro? Because before I wrap the show.
No, I don't necessarily. I think he was building on something about Turtle Island.
Oh, okay.
We can build on that later.
Okay. I wasn't really following them. So, but I think thank the brother, the human, for coming on to the line and expressing his perspective. Caller from Canada, we appreciate that, giving us that wisdom, sharing that wisdom from Canada, and I appreciate everybody for calling in and for everybody. For listening and being a part of this platform. Tune in next week as we go into our next show. I will send out updates on what that show will be and the title of that show. And until then, give thanks, keep growing, and be you. Peace. Oh, yeah.